When you compare the Apostles' Creed with the Nicene Creed, when it comes to the article about the Holy Spirit, then the Nicene Creed adds to what we have in the Apostles' Creed. The Nicene Creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. This afternoon we want to look at that expression that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life, and how the Scriptures indeed also speak about this work of the Holy Spirit. The three readings. First, we turn to Genesis chapter 1. The opening verses of Genesis and of the Bible. Genesis 1, and it is verse 2 that we meet the work of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And so the evening and the morning were the first day. And then it goes on in this chapter with the firmament and also the land and all the growths on the land and the animals, all created by God. The second reading is from Psalm 104, from which you also sang. And we read the verses 27 through 35. Psalm 104 is a psalm about God's work of creation. And in the verses prior to where we start reading, it speaks about all the animals, the creatures that God has created. And then in verse 27, these all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. And then the third reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans 8. The verses 5 through 11. He has spoken about the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, freeing us from the law of sin and death through his sacrifice, so that now also we may walk according to the Spirit. Verse 5. For those who live according to the Spirit, to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is not in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We've also turned to the confessions. First, we'll read from the Heidelberg Catechism, the Lord's Day that deals with what we believe about the Holy Spirit, Lord's Day 20, on page 880. Lord's Day 20. The question is, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? And the answer, first, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, that he is given also to me, so that through true faith he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. And then we turn to the Belgic Confession, which is before the Catechism, and we read Article 11, page 858. We believe and confess also that the Holy Spirit proceeds eternally from the Father and the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but only proceeding from the two of them. In regard to order, he is the third person in the Trinity of one and the same essence and majesty and glory with the Father and the Son. He is true and eternal God, as the Holy Spirit Scriptures teach us. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? And when you think about that question, I think to most of us what comes to mind is the work that he does in making us new again, making us believers, working faith in us, renewing us after the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. As also the Catechism indicates in that second part of the answer, when we ask the question, what do you believe about him? He is given to me so that by true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits. He comforts me. He remains with me forever. And that also corresponds to the promise that was given to you upon your baptism. The Holy Spirit said he would dwell in us and make us living members of Jesus Christ. But you notice that the Catechism has a first to the answer as well. And that is that he is with the Father and the Son, true and eternal God. And that is what we want to focus on this afternoon. And that's also why I took the expression from the Nicene Creed as the theme for the sermon, that he is the Lord and the giver of life. Well, that is part of being true and eternal God, because he is equal to the Father and the Son. That also means he is also involved in creation and has the same power in that way as the Father. Now usually, and that's not wrong in itself, usually we connect the work and the person of the Holy Spirit to what we call spiritual things. That you are believers, that you have hope, that you have joy, that you have endurance, that you have love. And that is indeed correct. That is his work. But that is, you could say, part of his work. He is also at work as the giver of life and the one who governs life, Lord of life, the Nicene Creed. And these two are not two separate things, as if on the one hand you have his spiritual work, and on the other hand you have what he does as the giver of life. No, it is one and the same person, the Holy Spirit. So he who gives you eternal life, he who works in you the renewal of life, is also the one who gives you physical life. Or the other way around, he who gives you physical life is also the one who renews you spiritual. The word that is used in the Old Testament and that is translated as spirit refers to the sound that you make when you breathe. The sound that comes out of your throat, goes back in again. Because breathing is a sign of life. That means that you are alive. And so the word that was used also in the Old Testament to describe the Holy Spirit points to this life-giving power. And when there is life, when there is breath, you can do things. You can move, you can walk, you can listen, you can talk. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. He moves us. He gives us life in that sense. Not a still life, but a life that is dynamic. Because he is, after all, with the Father and the Son, true and eternal God. So we want to deal with that this afternoon, to consider what the scriptures teach us about the work of the Holy Spirit as the Lord and giver of life. And we will look at three elements that come out in scripture. We will see, first of all, that he is involved in the creation of life, Genesis 1. Then we'll see that he's also involved in the continuation of life. Then we'll look at Psalm 104. And thirdly, we also see that he's involved in the completion and perfection of life. And we read about that in Romans 8. So what does the Bible teach us about the work of the Spirit as the Lord and giver of life? And then we begin at the very beginning of the Bible. He is right there at the very opening of God's word. Yes, he is indeed true and eternal God. That means he was not created. He didn't come into being at a certain time. He was there just like the Father and the Son, one with them. And he is the one through whom God created all things. That's what we learn from the opening verses. Have a look at them. It says in the beginning that everything was without form and void, and there was darkness over the face of the deep. That means there was no structure to it. You couldn't see anything. It is an emptiness. That's not how God wanted to keep this earth. He didn't want this earth to stay formless, dark. Why not? Because he wanted to make the earth the most beautiful place in the whole universe. Because he wanted to live with us on this planet. And he will indeed in all eternity. And that's why this earth couldn't stay the way it was. It had to be changed. In fact, it had to be made beautiful. It had to be made worthy the presence of God. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, as the one who makes that possible, who makes that beautiful, this earth. It says that he was hovering, verse 2, over the face of the waters. And the term used there for hovering refers to what birds do, parent birds, in spreading wings over the little ones to protect them, to keep them warm. It can also refer to what, for example, the eagle does when the little ones have to learn to fly, and the eagle will swoop them up and carry them on the wings. An image also used in the Bible. Either way, whether it is protecting, covering, or carrying, it is the image of love, of care. That's what the Spirit is doing here. The Spirit is involved in this. That's what hovering here indicates. And why is he hovering over the face of the earth? Why is he showing this care? Because of what follows. For then follows all these statements of our God, who says, let there be light, and there was light. And later on, let the waters be gathered, and it happened. And then let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, fruit trees, and so on and so on. And it happened. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He brings that about. Yes, it is God who is the creator. That is also true. He is the one who spoke, and it was. And when we say he is the one who spoke, then we also know from John chapter 1, the Gospel according to John, that that word is actually the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was made through that Word. Colossians, Paul also writes about that. So yes, the Father was there as the creator. He spoke. The Son was there as the powerful Word that brings it about. But the Holy Spirit is too. Because how can that decision of God, that Word that is spoken, become something that really functions? That is the work of the Spirit, who works together with the Father and the Son. It is his work that the flowers now open up and show their beauty, and that the birds begin to fly and sing, and that the animals do what they can do. They live. And so the word living here means functioning, showing that they have life. And that means, brothers and sisters, that when we look around us in creation and the beauty of God's creation, in plants, in animals, and you see how it functions, how it changes, the change of the seasons, the animals that move, and what they all can do, that is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord and the giver of life. So he makes it indeed come about as God had planned it and said it would be. There isn't any life, anything that's living, or he has given it. And when you look at his work, you also see a vast diversity. There's not just one flower that at one time blooms. And there's all different kinds of flowers in different times. They bloom and they have all their function. They connect to each other. And then you have the insects, and then you have the birds, and then you have the animals, all different kinds of vast array to show how powerful the Holy Spirit is, in that he makes them live and move and grow and bloom and sing and swim. From the greatest animal that walks, the smallest insect that crawls, is his work. From the majestic trees that stand tall to the most small flower, it is his work. From the common sparrow to the mighty eagle, it's all his work. And it's good to be reminded of this. Could it be a reminder that we who have been renewed by the Holy Spirit are living in the creation that is so much evidence of his work? That a God who has life in himself gives life through his breath, through his Spirit. And he does that so that it all will glorify the Father through the Son. Not only was there the creation of plants and animals and trees and you name it, there was also the creation of man. when you read about that in Genesis, you will notice there's a different way of approaching. With men, it was not that God spoke and there was Adam. No, God took dust from the earth. He formed it, as in a statue. And then in chapter 2, verse 7 of Genesis, we read, "He formed men of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." There again, you have the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, the spirit of life. He spirited into his nostrils life. And so man can walk, and Adam can observe things and hear the birds and talk and think and all the amazing capabilities that the human body has. He brings it about so that it functions. That is his work. So when we praise God, the Holy Spirit, as the Lord and giver of life, not only look at your spiritual life, but also look at the reality of the physical life that he brings about. And when you have a baby that is born, and you see this little child starting to function, and the eyes, and the nose, and the sneezes, and the twitches, and the grunts, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring about life. And we praise him for this. So we have indeed evidence here that the Spirit is involved in the creation of life. But that brings to the second point. He is also involved in the continuation of life. And we see the same thing about God the Father. God the Father is the creator, and on Lord's Day 9 we confess that he is creator of all things, but on Lord's Day 10 we speak about God's providence, and that means that what he has created, he also upholds his almighty and ever-present power, whereby as with his hand, he still upholds and governs all things, so that nothing happens by chance, but everything comes from his fatherly hand. Lord's Day 10. We also know from the scriptures that the Son, that word by which all things were created, continues to be also the center that holds it all together. Paul writes about it in Colossians 1 when he says that Christ is the one who holds everything together in this creation. So it's like a peg. You take the peg out and everything falls apart. So you take Christ out of it and the Son of God and everything falls apart. And you see that also happening in our world. He continues also to function as the Word. By his Word, God continues to uphold. But it also can be said about the Holy Spirit, because again, they work together. What can be said about the Father can also be said about the Son. It can also be said about the Spirit. Without the work of God's Spirit, you wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be able to exist anymore. Because he is the one who continues to uphold your life and makes that it functions. He governs us from the day we're born or conceived till the day we die. It's an interesting way in which the Bible speaks about it, because in Genesis 6, when the sin of man is escalating, because man is living so long, the ages are in the hundreds, and it gives them a lot of time to think about evil and to bring about evil. And then God says there has to come a limit to the age of people so that they cannot devise so much evil. It will be 120, it says there, maximum. But then he speaks about it in chapter 6, verse 3, that he says, "I will take my Spirit away." So the Spirit that he breathed into us, he says, "I will take it away again, and that will limit your life." Without the breath of God, you cannot live. Then we die. When the Spirit departs, man dies. And there's not only man, that is all creation, And that is why we went to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, beautiful psalm about God's creative power. References to creation, reference to the flood, and then all the creatures in the sea that God has made. It's the verses prior to verse 27. But then in verse 27 it says, all these creatures, they wait for you. And why did they wait for the Lord? So that he may give them their food in due season. God is the provider. What you give them, they gather in. All these animals and the ocean, they take it in, because God opens his hand. They're filled with good. But then when you hide your face, they are troubled. When God hides his face, that means he's no longer showing his care. And then they come in trouble. And that is paralleled in verse 29 with, you take away their breath or their spirit, they die and return to the dust. So there you have it. When God takes away our breath, we die and return to dust. It is the Spirit who upholds us and makes it possible for us to function as human beings. Verse 30, you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. So God, the Holy Spirit, is involved in the continuation of life, so that after it was made in the beginning, it continues to function as it should. And the flowers continue to come every season again. And the little animals are born and they grow up and they can do what they were destined to do. But not only does it apply to creation, it applies to us too. He, the Spirit, as the Lord and giver of life, when you confess that, you're saying something about your life. He is the Lord and giver of my life. And it's because of him that I can get up in the morning, and that my ears work, and that I can eat, that my stomach works, that all these intricate systems in my body function the way they're supposed to function. Heart pumps, the lungs work, the system to fight against viruses, you name it. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. That you're able to do what you want to do, and also that you're able to do special things. You're very good in fixing motors. And if somebody else says, how can you do that? But you're really good in drawing. You're good in listening to people and helping people. You name it, all different kinds of things that the Spirit gives to us, and he makes it possible for us to function so that we function together to the glory of God. For the Spirit is not out to make you function for yourself, so that you can boast and look how well I do things. But the Spirit gives these things so that you may, through the Son, give glory to the Father. That the Father is glorified. Because what the Spirit does each day in your life is for the glory of the Father. And brothers and sisters, it's important to keep our eyes open to this. I asked in the beginning, or I said, that when we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, we tend to think about our spiritual lives. And it's true, that is his work. Amazing work. Regeneration, repentance, faith. But he is also the one who makes it possible for you to see, to hear, to read, to talk. There's no clash between those two things, the physical and the spiritual. And talk about that with your children. The reality of the work of the Spirit in their lives, that he who wants them to live a new life to the glory of God is also the one who gives them eyes and ears and brains and hands and you name it. God the Holy Spirit, He is there in the continuation of my life. And that brings to our third point. He's also there in the completion of life. But brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is very busy. And He has a very definite goal in mind. The Lord Jesus, when asked by Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit, because Nicodemus didn't quite understand what the Lord Jesus was saying about being born again, then the Lord Jesus compares it to the wind. And you know how powerful wind can be. There's a windstorm or a twister. You see how trees that look so powerful can just be snapped like a matchstick. That's the wind. Well, that's the Spirit. But the wind is always going a certain direction. It's not still, it's going. And so also the Spirit, as the wind of God, as the breath of God, has a direction and has a purpose, and that's what He's busy with, that's what He is directing everything to, and using His powerful breath to bring that about, and that is the renewal of all things, to make this planet indeed the beautiful planet God had in mind. Yes, we know that is also the plan of the Father. And yes, we also know it is the Son who will come back on the clouds of heaven. But as in the previous points, also here, they, the Father and the Son, work together with the Spirit, and the Spirit works with them in perfect harmony. And therefore also He is the one who pushes everything toward that renewal. And that's what we learn from Romans chapter 8. It's a very well-known chapter, Romans 8. It's that well-known chapter where Paul speaks about the suffering of this present day is not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed. But in the beginning of this chapter, Paul uses the word or the verb groaning a couple times as he speaks about this hope that we have. He speaks about groaning in three different ways. And groaning means that you are suffering or there's something that is not right. Groaning is not a sign of happiness and optimism, but it's more because of difficulties that you face and troubles that you have. And Paul uses that verb groaning in the context of this creation. So the world in which we live, the created world, is groaning. He speaks about ourselves. We groan too, he says. And he speaks about the groaning of the Holy Spirit. So let's have a look at all three. There's the groaning of this creation. Why is this creation groaning? Because it says it is subject to futility. I spoke about the beauty of God's created work, about animals, little birds that are coming out of the nest. Yes, but there is a futility there. Because before you know it, a raptor comes and takes this little bird and eats it. So for what purpose did the mother raise this chick but to be eaten by another? And so there are so many examples of all this beautiful creation that God has made, but it is subject to a breakdown, to futility, to pollution. And then you have the groaning of ourselves. And Paul connects that to our bodies. Because I mentioned how beautiful it is when you can see and when you can hear and when you can think and when you have abilities. But these abilities are not always there. You may not have eyesight or being able to hear. Or your eyesight declines And as we become older, that is a process that we all deal with the breakdown. So what about the Holy Spirit and his work? And that is why the Holy Spirit is groaning. He too. Because he made all this. And now he sees it's subject to futility. He sees bodies that are breaking down, brains that cannot work the way it's supposed to be working. You name it. And he sees it as the Lord and giver of life. He sees how powerful death is. It's not his fault, though, that it is this way. It's our fault because of sin. Ever since we fell into sin, everything's breaking down. The whole idea that we become better and greater, that's a fiction of human imagination. Because of our sin, everything will become worse. Breaks down. Diseases will get worse. Because of who we are by sin. And who is the only one who can change that? That's the Holy Spirit. And when he sees the reality of our suffering and of the groaning of this creation, he adds his groaning to it, and he longs to come to the day when everything will be whole and new again, when he will breathe new life into everything. That is our hope. And that is what he will do. And we read that in Romans 8, verse 11, where Paul connects the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, with the work of the Spirit. Verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, God raised Jesus, but it is through his Spirit. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The fact that the body of Jesus Christ came out of the tomb is not only the work of the Father, it's also the work of the Spirit who maintained that life. Psalm 16 also sings about it. That your Holy One will not see corruption. And as he gave a new, complete, glorified body to our Lord Jesus Christ, guess what will happen to your body? Whether you're still alive when he comes back to Lord Jesus, or whether you already have passed away and your body has been buried, he will make things new. He will bring it about so that the effects of sin will be totally gone. He will bring us to life. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, when the question is what kind of a body will we have when we are raised, he uses the term spiritual. That means we will have bodies that are exactly according to the will of the Spirit and completely and perfectly filled with the Spirit. And that's too much for us at this point to understand what exactly that will be. But he will control life then to the fullest. And sin and all the powers of sin and all decay and all groaning, it will be gone. Every tear will be wiped away. And every imperfection will be gone. And life will be whole and new. And that is why Paul says the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing to what is going to come. And brothers and sisters, as he does this work with the Father and the Son in perfect harmony, and pushes everything and longs for that day when everything will be new and whole again. If you think that paradise is beautiful, what do you think the new paradise will be? when the Spirit will show the fullness of his power. It's so great, the Bible says, no eye has ever seen it, no ear has ever heard of it, and no heart of any one of us, no mind of any one of us can really conceive it. But that is the grandness of God's gift of life for his glory. That is also why the Holy Spirit, Christ with you, the bride, says, come. Come, Lord Jesus, so that life will indeed be lived with the triune God by the power of the Spirit through the redemption in Jesus Christ and for the glory of God the Father. Then everything that comes from him and exists in him will be for him. Do you see how rich the confession we have when with the Church of all ages we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and the riches of your word. We admit, Father, that our minds are limited in what we can understand, but what we hear, what we may confess, is so amazing, and it is true because of you, because of your truth. And therefore we pray, Father, that we may indeed hold on to this, that we may hold it up also in a world that doesn't want to deal with the God of life, who thinks it can control life on its own terms, and it will never work. And therefore we pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ may continue to go out, and that through that word and by the power of your Spirit, also many may come to confess that true life is only in you. We thank you, Father, for also the gift that we, the Church of all ages, we may confess this. And we pray that as we begin a new week, that you would give us what we need in our daily tasks. Also, when we have these groanings, these difficulties, when we realize that this world is broken, when our own bodies do not function the way they should, but Father, that we know that one day you will make all things new again. And the certainty of this lies in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, we come to you, we praise you, and we ask for your guidance.